Filing a provisional patent application can be a smart, strategic move for investors, but only if it's done right. Unfortunately, many DIY filers treat the process like it's just a placeholder or a quick form to get something on file. The truth? Many DIY inventors make critical mistakes in provisional applications that cost them patent rights down the road. Let's break down the five most common mistakes inventors make when filing a provisional patent application themselves and how to avoid them. Here's number one, not describing the invention in sufficient detail. Inventors often submit a few paragraphs, sketches, or even just an idea summary as a provisional patent application. But U.S. patent law requires the provisional application to fully enable someone skilled in the field to make and use the invention without undue experimentation. Why does this matter? If the description is too thin, it won't support your later non-provisional patent application. If you leave out key technical details, like how a component functions or what materials you used, you may not be entitled to claim those aspects later. You can't add new content to a provisional application once it's filed, and anything not disclosed in the provisional application can't get the benefit of its priority date in a related non-provisional application. Here's how to avoid this mistake. Include a detailed write-up of how the invention works, what it's made of, variations or alternatives, and any diagrams you have. Think like an engineer trying to build your invention from scratch. What would they need to know? Write all that down. Include materials, dimensions, wiring, workflows, whatever applies. Better yet, have a patent attorney help you so you're certain the descriptions and drawings are sufficient. I work with my clients to submit provisional patent applications that are nearly as detailed about the invention as a non-provisional application would be, while still allowing some wiggle room for tweaking that often happens between the provisional filing date and when they're ready to file the non-provisional application. That way, I know the provisional application is going to support everything in the non-provisional application unless the client makes major changes. If anything, I will include more options and leeway in the provisional application without being too broad, as it's fine to narrow the scope of the non-provisional application and not fine to add anything that can't be supported by the description and drawings in the provisional application. Here's number two, treating it like a placeholder that doesn't matter. Some DIY filers treat the provisional patent application like a casual placeholder, assuming they can wing it in the provisional application and then clean things up in the non-provisional application later. That's a dangerous mindset. The USPTO doesn't review provisional applications for quality. At best, they'll tell you if a crucial part, like the inventor address, is missing. That means it's up to you to ensure the application fully supports every aspect of your invention from the start. Why does this matter? If you add new details in the non-provisional application that don't have any basis in the provisional application, that's considered new matter, and you will lose the benefit of the provisional application filing date for that material. That means that anything made public by someone else between the provisional and non-provisional filing dates could be used to reject claims related to that new matter during examination. Here's how to avoid this mistake. Treat your provisional application like a serious technical disclosure, not a napkin sketch. It's a legal document, and the consequences of not being careful with it can be severe. Take the time to do it right. Working with a patent attorney can take some of that burden off of you and make sure things are done properly. Also, a patent attorney will help find the parts in the description where what's in your head didn't quite make it onto the paper or discover steps that might be missing. Here's number three, using overly broad or ambiguous language. Phrases like any material, could be anything, or not limited to, might sound like they offer broad protection, but in reality, they can water down your application or leave it open to challenge. Why does this matter? Ambiguity can undermine the legal strength of your disclosure. The patent office and courts need clear, specific language to interpret your invention. Vague descriptions won't help you if someone later claims your invention was obvious or if the patent office can't understand what you're trying to protect. Here's how to avoid this mistake. Be precise. Use specific technical terms where possible. If multiple configurations are possible, spell them out clearly. Precision gives you stronger coverage and better credibility. A patent attorney can work with you to determine the necessary level of detail and specificity to use without limiting your ability to make minor adjustments in the non-provisional application or to the invention after the patent is granted. Here's number 4, failing to include drawings or diagrams. Legally, drawings aren't required for a provisional patent application to get a filing date. However, they are required if they are necessary for understanding the invention, and they almost always are. Drawings and diagrams help explain what your invention looks like and how it functions, especially when text falls short. They can't just be haphazard either, if you want them to count when it's time for the non-provisional application. Just because drawings aren't required for a provisional application to get a filing date doesn't mean they can't make or break your non-provisional application. Why does this matter? Visuals help clarify your invention and can fill in gaps where words fall short. They also help show key components and functionality. Even a basic hand-drawn sketch can make your disclosure more complete. If you later need to prove you disclosed a certain feature, your drawings might be the only evidence that saves you. If something isn't covered in the description or the drawings, it would be new matter in the non-provisional application, and I described earlier why that's bad. Here's how to avoid this mistake. Include clear sketches, CAD files, or hand drawings. Include labeled parts, multiple angles, or flowcharts if your invention involves processes. If the parts or steps are there in a non-formal drawing for the provisional application, the drawing can be cleaned up to comply with USPTO drawing rules for the non-provisional application. Assume the people reading the application have no imagination and show in addition to telling. Even basic visuals can go a long way. Working with a patent attorney can put you in touch with patent artists who know how to comply with USPTO requirements and can show you what drawings are needed to make the application make sense to someone who isn't familiar yet with the invention. Here's number 5. Assuming a provisional patent application means patent pending protection forever. Many inventors breathe a sigh of relief once they hit submit. They start using patent pending and assume their rights are secured indefinitely. Wrong! A provisional application is only valid for 12 months. Why does this matter? A provisional application gives you a maximum of 12 months to file a non-provisional application. If you miss that deadline, your rights can be lost entirely. Also, if you reveal your invention to the public after you file the provisional application but before you file a foreign patent application, you will lose your ability to file in some countries. Here's how to avoid that mistake. Mark your calendar. Set reminders. That 12-month clock is not flexible. If you're serious about protecting your invention, use that time to refine your design, explore funding, and prep your non-provisional application. Better yet, talk to a patent attorney well before your 12-month window closes, especially if you didn't have one help you with your provisional application or used some bare-bones online service. Here's what I hope you take away from this week's post. Your idea deserves more than a deficient provisional patent application filing. Filing a provisional patent application is a great way to secure an early filing date and test the waters of success for your invention before filing a non-provisional patent application, but not paying attention to detail can backfire. If your goal is to get a patent, build a real business, or attract investment, a sloppy provisional application won't cut it. Provisional applications only work to transform into non-provisional applications and issue patents if done properly. Think of it as building a foundation. If you cut corners, the whole structure may collapse. DIY can be dangerous. If you want help with your provisional patent application so you maximize your potential patent rights and don't waste your time and money on a useless application, reach out to a registered patent attorney. They can give you legal advice and help you make sure you're laying a solid foundation for a non-provisional or international application and protecting exactly what you want to protect. If it's worth protecting, it's worth protecting properly with the right professional assistance. If you'd like to consult with me, you can use my contact form or you can book a consultation online at kingpatentlaw.com or by calling my office at 312-596-2222 or 217-714-8255. 8558. Please check out my website for more information on patents and other intellectual property and business law issues.